You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome to Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the only podcast that breaks down every Heat game, news item, rumor, and more. Thanks for subscribing on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or on the brand new podcast app, Himalaya. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm here with David Ramil. And we always say daily Miami Heat podcast at the front. We're three times-ish a week now, David, I guess. Mm-hmm. You know, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, thereabouts. We were going to post actually five episodes last week. Last week was Jimmy Butler week. We'll get to our takeaways a little bit later on. We'll talk about Bam Adebayo. We'll talk about the Heat schedule and our takeaways from that. But I just wanted to start the show because we're going to do five episodes last week. We only ended up doing four. And one of the reasons for that was we had to put our dog down on Friday. And I just wanted to start the show by talking about this because I know if anybody out there has had a pet, you understand, you know, the pain and everything that goes with that. But her name was Zig. She was named after Ziggy Marley because she was a long-haired dachshund with long hair. And you might be saying, well, Bob Marley would make more sense because that's the more mainstream Marley, but Bob is not a good name for a girl dog, so Ziggy it was. And she watched every Miami Heat basketball game with me for the last several years. Every single one. She was just like my basketball buddy, and she was always there, and she very much enjoyed Dwayne Wade's retirement tour. She's not going to have a chance then to watch Jimmy Butler's first season, and that era began in Miami. And so I just wanted to say, if you have a pet, if you have a dog, a cat, a rabbit, if you have a fish, go ahead and give it some love. Pet. I guess you can't pet a fish, but give it some treats.
Sure you can.
You can figure it out. That'd be weird. Give it some treats. Just let it know that you love it and just enjoy it because that's a real good bond. You know, that's the thing. You know, humans have had animals as pets for hundreds of thousands of years. It's a real thing. And again, if you ever lost an animal, Zig lived for 16 years. She was very happy. She was dealing with this mouth infection thing. I'm not good at medical stuff. It all goes way over my head. I just know that it was not good. She had like this tumor thing in her cheek and it was just causing her a lot of pain. She couldn't eat anymore. And after a long fight, we had to put her down on Friday afternoon. So I want to just dedicate this show to Zig. And with that, I want to get your thoughts, David, on Jimmy Butler Week, because I think we got a lot of really good information. Jimmy Butler Week, essentially, if you haven't listened to it yet, it's all right there in the archives. We had interviews with people who covered Jimmy Butler throughout his career and got to know Jimmy Butler. And it was really a crash course for Heat fans to get to know the team's star player. So what was some of your takeaways, David? Anything that surprised you? Anything that you really learned?
Well, first of all, I think I speak for all of Heat Nation in expressing our condolences to you and Zig and your family. You know, and nobody likes to consider the loss of a loved one, and our pets are important. So we're all rooting for you to move on, and we appreciate you starting off the show the way you did because it's a good reminder. And you know, as you said, echoing your statement, love the ones around you, pets, family members, whoever you got. So. As for Jimmy Butler, you know, I think it was a really great, you know, it was a kind of off-the-cuff idea we had a couple weeks ago. And, you know, we started looking at some of the different reporters that had, you know, covered Jimmy during his time in Chicago and Philadelphia and Minnesota. Reporters that had gotten close, in the case of Michael Pino, who, you know, went to Jimmy's house and kind of saw the bizarre behavior of a Jimmy up close.
A serial killer's dream is the way he described it. He described him that way, or an assistant that he's talking to described him that way.
Yeah, it was his trainer at the time, right. Who's still apparently his trainer. He's a serial killer's dream, and the way that he's just relentless and does the same thing over and over. He doesn't see it as monotonous. He sees it as the necessary steps to get better and better. And I think, you know, I remember talking about Jimmy as far back as two seasons ago when you know, we started hearing rumblings that maybe he wasn't happy in Minnesota. And sure enough, those wound up being accurate, that he wound up forcing his trade to Philadelphia. You know, we've been on this for a long time about Jimmy being the player to come to Miami and change the culture, revitalize the culture, maybe give it a boost or carry it forward, as you will. But I also kind of had some concerns following our conversations with Michael and your conversation with Casey Johnson and Kyle Newbeck. You know, Jimmy is not an easy personality to deal with. And I think that's his strategy. I remember somebody who was very experienced, and I think I've had the feeling that I've said this on a podcast before, maybe it's been some time, but somebody who was very experienced and was a longtime employee of a company I used to work for said that there were always two types of leaders. One that brings people together and is good at seeing how people unite under difficult circumstances and kind of rallies them to fight for a common cause, as opposed to the other type, which is somebody who likes to kind of sow dissension and kind of poke at you and kind of test you a little bit more than maybe you're comfortable with to see how you respond to that. And I think I wanted to think Jimmy, you know, on the surface was the first one, but that's not the case. He seems to be more of the type to really kind of just get in your face a little bit, challenge you up close, and see how you respond. And I don't know that everybody responds well to that. I know I wouldn't, to be honest with you.
Well, I think that we talk about the perfect fit for Heat culture. I think you're like, there is this idea that Jimmy Butler is a hard worker, just wants to play basketball, just wants to win and all that. But the way he goes about it, where the poking and prodding and getting under your skin, is not Heat culture. Heat culture is very familial. It's very like the first type of leader you're talking about. You think about the leaders who came through Miami, whether it be Alonzo Mourning, Dwayne Wade, LeBron James.
I argue about Wade that way, and I've said this to you before.
You were not convinced.
I don't know if you remember.
No,
I've never really been sure of Wade's leadership ability.
But it's definitely not so good. It's definitely not Jimmy Butler's leadership style. Whatever style that they
not
have.
Not as aggressive. Yeah. Maybe not as nurturing, but certainly not as aggressive.
Yes. Maybe a more of a lead by example type, possibly.
Right. I can do it, so can you.
Yes. That is going to be interesting. And speaking of Heat culture, we've also talked about this idea, and I think it's very true. Pat Riley gets a lot of credit for Heat culture, but we know, and Pat Riley, by the way, would be the first to admit this, that Alonzo Mourning came in and changed a little. Like, he added his spice to Heat culture, right? Alonzo Mourning, so Heat culture changes. Dwayne Wade comes in, Udonis Haslam comes in. They add their little spices to Heat culture. Heat culture evolves again. LeBron James comes in. Chris Bosh comes in. They add their spice to Heat culture. Now, all of a sudden, Heat culture changes again. It's a little bit more bigger than basketball, right? And I think that still maintained throughout. I mean, we see Heat players more than ever getting involved in social causes and things like that. I think that, and there's a winning culture that was never part of the culture before, and an expectation that necessarily wasn't there, a realistic expectation that wasn't necessarily there. I do wonder what Jimmy Butler's spice is going to be, and if that spice is going to be problematic in the long run, because the issue with Jimmy Butler is not short-term. We know short-term Jimmy Butler will get you to the playoffs. We know short-term Jimmy Butler will help your team. It's long-term. Do things erode underneath and around Jimmy Butler? That is the question. That should be the concern, and we're not going to know the answer to that for at least 2 years.
You know, I keep coming back to the presence of Udonis Haslam, and I think we had a chance to talk about it. I can't recall.
We did.
I was in Orlando for the Junior NBA Global Championship, and Udonis was there, and he didn't really offer much as far as, you know, he spoke of the fact that his winning championships now come as a result of being able to connect with guys and seeing how they're able to manifest their talents on the floor, and that's... He's more, I think, accepted of a mentor role. And, you know, last season he spoke before the year about how he can still play on the floor, he can still contribute on the floor. Clearly that was not the case. Either Eric Spoelstra or Udonis' skill set or age just aren't capable of making much of an impact on the floor. But he's a great locker room presence. And then I asked Dwayne, and I said, you know, what do you think, you know, how can UD and Jimmy get along? And he said, they'll be great. That UD has the respect of so many guys around the league, and Jimmy's no different in that sense, and that Jimmy knows that Udonis is Dwayne's brother. Jimmy and Dwayne have a great relationship, and as a result, they should be able to connect well and you know, to have that shared vision as far as their leadership is concerned. And I keep thinking that if there's going to be one saving grace from keeping Jimmy from going full Jimmy, it'll be Udonis saying, look, yeah. Brother, that's not going to work this way. That's not how that's not how you get to Bam. You get to Bam through this, or you got to get to James Johnson through this, or Kelly. And you know, I asked Michael Pena who's going to get into a fight first, either, you know, James Johnson or Kelly Olynyk. Kelly Olynyk doesn't strike me as that kind of guy who wants to get Jimmy all up in his grill, asking him why he doesn't set a harder screen. Why does he, doesn't he crash the rim a little bit more effectively? That kind of thing. And it's going to be an interesting situation to see play out. I think it'll be somewhat tempered.
I mean, guys like Jimmy are really, really good for basketball teams to a point. They really do get guys to play harder. I mean, if you've ever been on a pickup court and you've got the one, and it's a competitive guy, a competitive game, and it's, you know, 8 to 10 or whatever it might be, it's getting late or whatever, there's sometimes that guy that just says, hey, go get that rebound. Hey, take that shot. Hey, set me a screen. Call that one out. Do all this stuff. And he gets the guys going a little bit. But there's an extent that they can hit. And I think Jimmy Butler is too often just he crosses the line and just doesn't even see the line behind him. And that could be an issue. But I agree with you. Udonis Haslam. I wrote this in my piece about Haslam last season, that there is no player in the league that has more street cred than Udonis Haslam. And that's just a fact. He undrafted, played in Europe, remade his body, came to the NBA, carved out himself a spot in the starting lineup next to Dwayne Wade in his rookie year, and went on to win 3 championships, and played a major part in reshaping the Miami Heat franchise and getting them their first championship and their second and their third championship. So no other player can do that. No other player in the league gets to say that. I don't know. I can't think of a player in the league that gets to say that over the last 30 years, to be honest. So no other player in the league has street cred like Haslam. I think that's going to be a tremendous thing for that locker room to bring in Jimmy Butler, experience Jimmy Butler, let Jimmy Butler do his thing, but also keep him in check in a way, and also make him more comfortable in a way that maybe he wasn't really in all these other places. A little bit more at home with a guy like Haslam being the guy in that locker room. That there wasn't that character in Minnesota or Chicago or Philadelphia. And I go back again to that conversation with Casey Johnson, where he was outlining how Jimmy Butler just didn't get along with other players, not because the other players weren't even good. Nobody doubted that Derrick Rose wasn't good. He won MVP that year, or one of those years, but he just didn't like Derrick Rose's leadership style, in that he didn't have one.
Too passive.
Yeah, and he didn't even get along with Joakim Noah, which I was shocked by, but they bumped heads. They just disagreed on ways that the game should be played. And I just, like, he bump, like, if you're not exactly Jimmy Butler's type, I think you bump heads, and I think they're going to have to rein him in a little bit, and that's going to be a challenge. But I'll say this, the Heat have done that time and time again, right? They're the franchise that reins people in. They got the most out of LeBron James. They got the most out
of LeBron James. If there's another factor, I think it's something you brought up in our conversation with Michael Pena, is that Jimmy chose Miami. You know, he didn't choose Philadelphia, he didn't choose Minnesota. He was traded to these players, he was drafted by Chicago, etc. But he chose Miami. This is his first time as a free agent, being able to make that decision, and maybe that'll be the saving grace.
Let's take a break here. Coming up next, how getting cut from Team USA impacts Bam Adebayo. You're listening to Locked On Heat. Fantasy football players, make sure you listen to Vinny Iyer and Locked On Fantasy Football with over 20 years covering fantasy football. Vinny gives you an edge that you're not going to get anywhere else. Vinny is a rising star in fantasy football analysis, and you're going to want to get on this now before everybody else does. It's Locked On Fantasy Football, and it's on the Locked On Podcast Network. Bam Adebayo is one of only 2 players who were actually cut by Team USA, joining Bulls forward Thaddeus Young. Among the 50-plus players who have been linked to Team USA, everyone else not on the team decided on their own to either withdraw or just to not participate at all. David, how much do you read into this, or is this simply just Bam being young and inexperienced, sort of a last one in, first one out type of deal?
I know that's what I believe Ben Golliver mentioned to us in last week's episode of Locked On NBA, that Bam was just a little inexperienced. And again, as you said, last one in, first one out. But I do have serious questions about what Bam's fit on Team USA would have been. I thought it was a great opportunity for him to rise above what we've seen over the last couple seasons, to not be comfortable as merely a role player, albeit a very athletic, explosive, and versatile one, but apparently not. In his one scrimmage didn't really show much. I think he scored like 4 points or something very woeful like that. Like, he wasn't much of a contributor. We hadn't seen enough from him. And those kind of moments against, you know, experienced groups from around the world, that would not have been a good opportunity for him. That he was supposed to have done more. And so I have legitimate concerns. And I think some other people have voiced those as well. I think members of the Heat fan base have said, you know, Bam should have been a more of a standout. He should have done more to stand out in Team USA. And I think there are legitimate questions about whether or not he's going to be able to translate his skills, which I don't think any of us doubt, into more of a star level role. And that might not be the case. Maybe he's just more comfortable. Maybe he's not aggressive enough. And I wonder, you know, to what we were talking about in the first segment, maybe Jimmy's attitude can bring out the best in Bam Adebayo. Hmm. Maybe it'll crush him. I'm curious to see how that plays out.
You look at the other centers on the roster, Brook Lopez, Mason Plumlee, Miles Turner. I wouldn't say that Bam Adebayo, I mean, obviously experience-wise, he's far behind all his other guys. You can argue that he should be on the roster over Mason Plumlee, but I think that there's some law that you have to have a Plumlee on the Team USA roster, so that's unfortunate for Bam. But to me, the biggest takeaway is that it just sort of sucks for Heat fans who were really excited to watch Bam Adebayo play for Team USA. That's not a thing that we got to do for a while. And it's like, I was very much looking forward to the World Cup just to see how Bam would react, if he would step up like you were talking about. And I expected him to do that. We talked about how great of an experience this would be. You go to how many times have we seen a player have this sort of either World Cup or Olympic experience and then come back to the season and take a noticeable leap? I mean, this is the place where you get to do that. This is the place where you get exposed to other coaches and other ideas and other playing styles and other types of levels of competition. And I think players are ultimately better off for doing it. And it's actually just over from a more macro view, David, it's shocking to me that so many players are withdrawing from this thing. I mean, even De'Aaron Fox, who we talked about being a possible, you know, a lot of people were talking about being one of the standout players on this team, decided to withdraw before they flew to Australia. And it's just unfortunate because I think a lot of people were looking forward to seeing him blossom. So to me, Bam fits into that. Not that he withdrew, but because he got cut, it is sort of disconcerting, because if you're a Heat fan and if you're the Miami Heat organization, I think you really wanted Bam to turn a corner. And you still hope for that, right? But I think you could have gotten hints of it had you been able to watch him play for this team, and you're not going to have that opportunity now. It's just going to be back to Miami, doing training camps, doing the pro leagues. Maybe he goes and works out with Giannis. Maybe he does these other things that we talked about him possibly missing, but it's just different than watching him on a world stage perform.
Can't work out with Giannis, who's leading Greece, possibly to a medal round. Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, Do you have those same concerns I do that maybe...
I do. I think because we've seen it, right? I mean, this isn't made up. We're not making this up. We've seen it in this first 2 years. And even Bam has admitted to it. There is a passivity... I can't say it. He's too passive. Passivity.
Yes.
He's too passive.
That too.
He's talked about it, and he knows he's working on it. Again, I'm trying not to read too much into it. Maybe it is simply he's inexperienced. This team has a bunch of centers.
What's the argument for Plumlee aside from the Plum rule?
That's it. I mean, it has Mason's, to be that. That has Mason, to be look, the
Mason
only
sets
reason.
Good screens. Yes.
Well, you know,
Mason
I love Mason
sets good screens.
Good passer.
Yeah, he's a good passer. Yeah.
Unselfish.
Good rebounder. Physical presence.
Not going to drive.
If somebody from
much.
Serbia drives the lane, they're going to get a mouthful of Plumlee.
Traditional
elbow,
center type who is willing to play for this team. I mean, you look at Miles Turner. He is a... He's sort of like the 3-and-D version for a center. He's a good rim protector.
Yeah,
he can shoot threes. Brook Lopez, more of a 3-point shooter. He's gotten better as a rim protector, much better. And he's 300 pounds and 7'2" or whatever. Yeah. He's enormous. So I guess you have
right,
that.
Now I feel better about it. Maybe it was just Bam not finding a way. I would have liked for him to stick around, as you said, and possibly get a little bit more oomph in his step. You know, to find a way to be a little bit more aggressive. Maybe he did. Maybe he did pick up just enough in a couple of weeks of training camp to that translate to the season.
You hope so. I mean, he did get the Greg Popovich and Steve Kerr experience, right? He did get to... I mean, I don't know if he's picking Brook Lopez's brain, but that would be wonderful if he did. Hey, Brook Lopez, you had worse touch than me when you started in the NBA, and look at you now.
Right.
You know, that would be great. Brook Lopez, who has the green light from three-point range all the time, Splash Mountain. I mean, that would be wonderful. Let's take a break. We'll talk about the Heat schedule that came out last week. Next, you're listening to Locked On Heat. With the NFL season around the corner, you're not going to want to miss the new look Locked On NFL podcast. With expert analysis from former NFL scout Matt Williamson and host Brian Peacock, Locked On NFL is your daily podcast on all things NFL. Subscribe to Locked On NFL wherever you get podcasts. Remember to listen to and subscribe to new and archived episodes of Locked On Heat on Himalaya, as well as on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. If you're on iTunes, rate us, review us, say nice things about us. We didn't get a chance to talk about the Heat schedule that came out last week. David, what stood out to you from the 2019-20 Miami Heat schedule?
Not much.
I think we tend to make up content when it comes to here. We needed a third segment, so... this is what we're doing. I mean, we had to talk about it. I mean, to me, 16 of the first 28 games are on the road. That's a really tough draw from the Heat, who are going to be trying to implement Jimmy Butler into this whole thing. I think that the story going...
I like it.
You do like it.
I'm tired. Yeah, I'm tired of...
Starting the season in Orlando every year?
Yeah, sorry, that for sure. But no, I mean, that from my perspective, it was great because I get to cover those games. But... you know, we've been giving them a pass. We always kind of expect this team to be well conditioned, to push themselves more than 29 other teams, and then they come out to start off the season flat against Orlando of all teams. They have no excuses now. They've got Jimmy Butler. They're going to be well conditioned. We know that already. They've got to go on the road, and that's the kind of, I think, road trips or road games in general kind of have a really unifying impact on teams for the most part, because they're able to bond, because they get to see shared interests, because they get to go on the road and go to certain places while they're out there together as a group, because, you know, they're teammates, they're coworkers on the road in a foreign environment, so to speak, and they kind of have to find a way to congeal. So yeah. I think I'll never forget 2012. No, it must have been 2013.
Seems like you forgot.
No, the start of the 27-game win streak.
That's right.
Was 2012.
The 27-game win streak was
27. It was a 2012. Yeah. No, wait, it was a 2013 season. Yeah. So it was January 1st, 2013. They were on New Year's Day. They were playing in Toronto. Shane Battier gave the kind of speech that everybody had goosebumps afterwards, and that was the beginning of something. They forged a friendship, a unified state of mind. After that road win, to kind of say, you know what, it's us against them. Screw the NBA for scheduling us on New Year's Eve. Let's go and take it to everybody, and they did. And I'm hoping that something similar will happen. That they'll start off games on the road, and they'll have no choice but to kind of bond together as a
team. You've convinced me absolutely now. I think you're exactly right. No, I'm serious. I think. You're 100% on it. Like, enough of this, oh, well, we're well-conditioned. Oh, it's been the same team for 3 or 4 years. We should know how to play with each other. Enough with that crap. Like, get on the road, start playing, have some urgency to start the season, and stop having these early season disappointments. 16 of the first 28 games are on the road, and I think in the third week, there's this massive West Coast road trip in the middle of it. Yeah, throw them in the fire. And you know who's going to love that? Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler's going to absolutely love that. Speaking of Jimmy Butler, should also mention November 23rd, Jimmy Butler is in Philly. That's his return. I'm not as excited about that. I don't really care. I think that's more of a Philly fans. I'm a little interested to see if they boo or cheer or whatever. I'm not all that interested. Yeah, they probably boo. It's like, boo the best player in the playoffs for you last year. Good idea. I think a lot of things that people look at is how many times...
I can't wait for the game winner against the Sixers, I'll be honest with
you. That's going to be great.
Can we get to something else that's kind of a sidebar to this? Josh Richardson saying that when he plays the Heat, he wants to quote-unquote kill us.
I love
that. Did you see this?
Yeah. What's the problem?
I don't have a problem per se. I also just don't buy it. I don't think we had anybody who was a bigger supporter of Josh Richardson and his potential than me. And at the same time, I think the reason he's not here is because of that lack of a quote-unquote killer instinct, and now he's kind of talking about being the guy who's going to kill the Heat when he plays against us.
That's a really good point. Having Jimmy Butler probably guard him.
Yeah, good luck. I mean, good luck getting those touches with Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons on the team. I mean, it's all fine and good to say that publicly, but come on. I mean, why do you have to go there? And I know he kind of hedged it a little bit by saying, oh, that's just how I'm built. When I was in Miami,
but he told you all the same stuff too. I mean, he would tell you all the same stuff too about, you know, I want to be a leader. I want to close out the games. I want to do all this stuff. Like, he says it, and I'm not bashing Josh Richardson. We love Josh Richardson. I'm very happy with him. I think the Philadelphia fit is a great fit. It's a better fit than Miami was.
It is.
Very, very happy for him. But there is definitely a level that he can reach, and I think we've seen it for the most part. I think we haven't seen the level he can reach, but I think we saw the ceiling that he could get to. And that's it's right. Not Jimmy Butler's ceiling, and it's not what this Heat team needs right now. Six national TV games, because I don't include the NBA TV games. Split evenly between ESPN and TNT. The Heat had more than that last year, I believe. I saw 11 last year, but I think that includes the NBA TV game, so I'm not sure what's really split between TNT and ESPN.
Dwayne's retirement.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that the national viewing audience sees Jimmy's move to Miami as newsworthy, I guess.
It would have been different had Russell Westbrook or Chris Paul been on the Heat.
Fair point, yeah. I think that would have changed things. That's at least two marquee names that you can market behind, and that's not the case now.
Here's what I really wanted to get to.
Okay.
We'll end the show on this. January 5th.
All right.
Hassan Whiteside returns to Miami with all of his shooters, David. What are Heat fans going to do?
Oh, they'll cheer him.
They'll cheer him?
I'm convinced. I'm convinced. He would have to talk some major, like the things that we're talking about now. We got shooters, his back and forth with Tyler Hero, way to pick on a 6'5" rookie out of Kentucky. You know, that's great. I think that's something that kind of spears basketball Twitter and Heat Twitter specifically along. I just don't think the 17,000 people that are going to be filling the American Airlines Arena are going to be so plugged in, and they're not going to be as aware. There will be plenty of boos smattered across there.
I think it's going to be 50-50. A Sunday evening game. I think it'll be 50-50. It's a Sunday evening.
It's a Sunday evening. Yeah, it's a Sunday evening game, 6 o'clock start time. Those kind of games, like, you're going to get a very odd crowd. You're going to get families there. You're not going to boo somebody with your little 7-year-old
families,
kid there.
Families now are an odd crowd. What's a regular crowd?
I mean, no, I mean, like, well, it's a little bit different.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean. It's a little subdued.
It's a little.
Yeah, we know the Sunday.
People aren't going to get hammered there at a 6 o'clock Sunday game. It's not the same thing as going there. Yeah, exactly. So I think it'll be a little gentler. Plus, you know, everybody's going to go see Dame and CJ McCollum anyway. Who cares about his own Whiteside?
Well, you just took the wind out of my sails on that. I was really excited that you mentioned the Sunday evening. I mean, you're not wrong. I'd rather have the facts.
Burn in an effigy, you know, Hassan Whiteside.
Maybe we will. Center court. Maybe you and I will go to Miami for that game. It's January 5th. I might be in Miami. Who knows? Depends on how long I take a Christmas break.
There go our credentials, I guess.
If Heat PR is listening to this, just kidding. That's it for us today. You can connect with us on Twitter using the hashtag AskLOHeat or email us at LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. We'll be back later in the week with a very special guest who is now a celebrity, apparently. So look out for that. We're really excited to have him on, as always. Thanks for listening, and thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.
Wrap it up, D.